But they can.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. Welcome to episode 11 of the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, at Leslie Mack.
And I'm at Very White Guy.
And you're very white indeed.
Thank you.
We are coming at you from the suburbs of Philadelphia. Excuse my slightly muffled voice. I'm feeling a little under the weather, but
I think it adds some sex to it. It's sexier.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
Well, I don't say huskier. Like, you know. Huskier. I like it. It's got some rasp.
Funny. Well, we are the Interracial John Podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can also find us on our website, interracialjohn.com. And we're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr. Just search at Interracial John. Again, that's J-A-W-N. This is our biweekly podcast, episode 11, as I mentioned earlier. We do have two spinoff podcasts that we're going to be broadcasting this
week. Crazy.
One Wednesday, November 5th, which is the White Privilege podcast, which is the very white guy himself, along with Drum Beats for Peace.
Yep.
And then Friday, November 7th, I will be co-hosting the very first episode of No Bitch Left Behind with the Lady J, who you can follow on Twitter at Parenthetics, T-I-X at the end.
NBLB. Yeah. And for the White Privilege podcast, I'm very pleased. We've got Charles Wade. He's one of the folks that's working on the Ferguson to Geneva campaign. I think I'm not sure. I'll find out Wednesday, but I think he might be going to Geneva himself.
Wow, that's exciting.
He's on Twitter, a.k.a. Charles Wade. And so he'll be on for Wednesday. But
super cool.
We're really excited. I'm loving this debt podcast game. Is that what it is? I don't know if there's a black Twitter hashtag for podcasting?
I don't know if there is, but I do like it as well. It's a great community, a lot of great people. We recorded the AUA podcast on Sunday, and that's actually up now. So people can look at that, AUA, AmericansUnitedAgain.com, episode 13, at Very White Guy and at Leslie Mack. Interracial John are guests on that show. It was a really great time.
It was fun. Ricky and Cheryl do a wonderful job.
They're fantastic. And Cheryl's going to be guesting on our show in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting.
And you know, did I tell you that I installed the toy that he told me about?
So, you did.
Speaking of the podcast game, and Leslie's right, there's a lot of really great people, and you have questions, they'll help you out. And Chernola.com is really helpful. Rod, TBJWT's got a bunch of information that's been very helpful. So really great. But he told me about Jingle Palette. The jingle, like, give me a jingle.
Yeah, because he had a whole bunch of, like, really cool, like, sound effects and, like, clips and
he does
things
a little bit better. I got to be honest. I'll have to tip my hat. He asked me, he's like, what did you think of the post-production? I said, well, really, really good. I asked him, you know, was it Audacity? How do you do it? And he likes doing that. And for me, you know, I do that for my day job sometimes. And I do it for, like, things about like pedagogy and educational stuff that just,
right,
and sometimes in like non-English languages.
Yeah, it's like super boring for you.
Editing that is just like brutal.
Right. So and also like you're not the most detail oriented. Like that's not your bailiwick.
No. Not at all.
And it's a lot of like looking at like, you know, clips and
there's been a
breaks
a few
things.
Times where I've been doing it and I'm just like, you know, I gotta just stop. My eyes and my brain, it's just I'm not doing it well. I'm making terrible edits and I'm fucking it up. So just quit. But so he told me about Jingle Palette because he had all those cool little jingles. And that's where I played our theme song from now. And I've got like a couple other different things. But I don't know if you heard me downstairs. I didn't have a lot of time. So I did the one. So tell everybody when I said I was going to do this and I was going to put in a sound. We didn't want to do like a lot of sounds. We were crazy. But I asked you and I said, I have one thing in mind. And you said the exact same thing. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I said it was Fantasia Barrino's Aunt Bunny saying, girl, please.
Girl, please. Girl, please.
Oh, my gosh. Play it one more time.
Girl, please.
I love it.
And that was literally Fantasia Barrino's, like, she had a reality show? Is that what it was?
She did. She had a reality show. I don't know if it was a reality show or, like, a special, but she gave some song and dance to her Aunt Bunny about, well, he told me he was...
She was dating a married man.
Yeah, and she was... Fantasia told Aunt Bunny and her mom.
Please.
She was explaining herself, and she was like, oh, well, he told me they were separated. And Aunt Bunny goes...
Yeah, please.
Exactly. And I love it.
If you can, just literally search like Fantasia Girl Please or like Aunt Bunny Girl
it's
Please.
So funny.
And on YouTube, you can see she's sitting on like a chair. Her face is just like...
Her whole body moves backwards. She doesn't just do an eye roll. It's a full body roll. It's the best.
I fucking love that we're like, oh, we should put like one or a couple sound effects. What should you do? Like, both of us. Girl, please.
Oh, yes.
This is maybe something just, I don't know if I'll use it, but in our life, I think a lot of couples do the same thing where there's like a movie that the couples watch and then that's kind of like their movie.
Like their movie,
it.
Right.
Yeah, so you remember, we have a couple. What's our movies?
Oh, our number one is Quick Change.
For
sure.
Bill Murray, Quick Change.
The movie. It's absolutely so funny. Well, we quote it pretty much all the time.
Well, here you go.
You goddamn strap hangers are ruining Mrs. Crane's beverage service.
I love it.
So that's at the very end. And that's actually, what's the guy's name?
Jason Robards.
It's Red.
Oh, you're right. Jason Robards is Rottinger. You're right.
Mm-hmm. What's that actor's name? Red from that 70s show.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is in real life. Kirkwood Smith?
Probably a dumbass.
Kirkwood Smith?
I think so. He's the character, but he's. We always say that when we see somebody that's being all like obnoxious and shit. We're like,
you goddamn strap hangers are ruining Mrs. Crane's beverage service.
It probably means nothing to anybody.
Yeah,
it's like
that
the
is his
thing.
Name, Kirkwood Smith. He's also, he has a lot of these iconic roles because he was Clarence in RoboCop, too.
Right.
Also, I should say.
Right. The guy comes up and blows him up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Right. So then the recording of that wasn't as good. I didn't have as much time to get from that, but I did a bunch more from other favorite Bill Murray. The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll feel better if you could see this tape.
She had the one where he says, hey, I said I got something in my eye, jack off.
Yeah, here you
I
go.
Said time out, jack off.
Hold on.
Hold it. Time out. Time out. I got something in my eye, jack off.
That just fucking cracks me up.
I love it. Okay, cool.
Help, please. She's a killer.
And that's just stupid. We say that about our dog because she kills shit all the time.
She is a killer.
She's a killer. Yeah, so those are just a bunch of shit from Jingle Pal. Thanks, Ricky, for the recommendation of the new toy. Sorry, listening audience. Sorry, Leslie Mack.
We just spent 7 minutes going over clips that we find funny. It's great. Girl, please.
I'm gonna have that on fucking cue, right?
Yeah. I feel like everything we talk about, you could be just like, Girl, please. All right, let's not overdo it. So you told me some craziness about a teacher in Camden, New Jersey, having a bucket list and her bucket list included wanting to kill black people. Now, what is this?
So we actually talked about it like 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if other people do this when they podcast, but you and I will like see things we want to talk about. Like, oh, don't talk about that. Put on the list. I'm on the podcast. So I put on the list this
But it
teacher,
got bumped, right?
It got bumped. Right. It got bumped. So it was 2 weeks ago, a white teacher here in our neighborhood, Camden, said to her students about, you know, if I was on a bucket list, I had 10 days to live, I'd kill all black people. Literally. So we didn't talk about it because we didn't like, oh, there's other things and it wasn't a national story.
So wait, if she had 10 days to live?
Yeah.
Explain this to me.
Well, I'll play the clip too and we can talk about it.
But
the reason we're talking about it now is because she got immediately suspended, but she's back at work.
Of course.
They put her back. So let me just play the news clip here.
And a local teacher is under investigation tonight for allegedly saying racist comments in the classroom. Oh, she was put on suspension, but now she's back on the job. Senator Sides.
Newscaster's black. You should have seen her face. Now she's back on the job.
You know what she was thinking.
Disturbing.
I won't play it.
Camden County mother, the disturbing happened a couple weeks ago when her daughter told her about a conversation with a math teacher at Camden County High School.
That's when she conveyed to me that Miss Ramsey had indicated that if she only had 10 days to live, that she would kill all black people.
Kimberly Ashcraft's daughter was in Cynthia Ramsey's classroom eating lunch. Ashcraft
that sounds like a racist name.
Around when she Ramsey looks like allegedly a racist. Made the racist remarks.
I was completely shocked. I mean, I asked her again, are you sure that's what you heard? I could not have imagined a teacher saying that.
Ramsey
and mind you, it's a white woman.
And headed the math department at the
school. No, the student was white.
Oh, right.
And the mom was white. Team. The people that are outraged
Ashcraft
are white, too.
Went to the principal about the alleged racist threat.
And I conveyed to my daughter that this is a very serious allegation, and I need confirmation that this, in fact, did happen.
School officials began an investigation. Even the sheriff's office was called in to help. The sheriff tells 10 on Your Side several of the students told the same story. Ramsey was placed on suspension with pay, and after a couple days, was back in the classroom.
A couple days.
I was very disappointed to hear that she was back in the classroom so soon.
The superintendent tells 10 on Your Side the main concern is to investigate the incident thoroughly and collect all the facts. The sheriff says he's turned over all his evidence to the district attorney, who will decide if the teacher should face any charges.
I'm sorry, collect all the facts? Either she said it or she didn't.
Right, what facts are you collecting exactly? Yeah. You got corroboration from independent sources. All of these children say the same thing.
It's fucking crazy. And
what are you
Camden,
looking for
which is,
exactly?
Camden's a largely community of color. And she says, if I had 10 days to live, I'd kill all blacks. And
I want to know, how did this even come up in conversation, generally speaking? Like, hey, everybody, let's have a lesson today.
What's the segue?
If you had 10 days to live, what would you do?
She's a math teacher. Maybe she
Why
was doing like...
Why are you talking about that?
Maybe it was a math problem. How many blacks are there? How many blacks? How long would it...
It would take me 10 days. I could do it in 10 days.
If I had a bazooka...
I couldn't get all the Hispanics, but I'm pretty sure I could get all those black people.
You said... What'd you say to me is when I told you we were going to talk about this? What was the first thing you said?
I said, what the hell else is on this bucket list?
What the fuck else is
Was she drowning
list?
Puppies, too? I'm going to drown all the puppies.
I got to break an old person's hip.
I got to kick some small children in the chest.
Drown a bag of puppies.
I got to add acid to the water supply. Like, what in the world is going on?
That's a, though, if she was going to go, like, you know how people, like, have bucket lists and it's like, well, I'm
going to jump out of a plane.
Go to the moon or do something crazy. I'm not saying I would, but if I was going to go in the direction she was going.
Of what? Mass genocide?
No, not, okay. I would never. Stop. I would never go in the direction of mass genocide. Let me rephrase that. If I was going to have a fucked up bucket list that had, like, some, like, non awesome shit, I'd be like, I want to take a shit on my boss's desk. I want to, like, I don't know. It wouldn't be kill all black people. I don't know. I always like joke. I'd get like a heroin habit. Maybe I shouldn't joke about that. Like,
that's
like,
not funny.
No, but like you have 10 days to live. What the fuck?
Yeah, but I would do fun things. None of those things sound fun to me. To her, it would be fun, clearly, to kill all the black people. Because my whole thing is this, if you've got 10 days only to live, like, what do you care if there's black people around or not?
Yeah.
So the activity of it is what she's
it's
talking
irrational.
About.
It's
the
totally,
activity of it
right
is what
that.
She's discussing.
She wants to just
kill
it's black
not
people.
The outcome. She just wants to kill black people. You know, that's really what it is.
You know how they say, like, in vino veritas and wine there's truth, right?
Yeah.
People are drunk.
What, in bucket list there's truth?
I don't know if it's in bucket list, but I kind of feel like in, like, what's that horrible song, Accidental Racist, with LL Cool J?
Oh, God.
Like, not accidental racism, but, like, when you let, like, something like this out, like, it... I really feel like you're just sitting there the whole time thinking that. Like,
obviously.
All day, every day, she's like, I want to kill all these black people. Fucking kill black people. Kill black people. Kill black people. Ooh, bucket list? I'd kill black people.
I would kill black people.
Wait a minute. Did I just say that? Sorry.
Wait. That was it. That wasn't in my head? Shit.
Well, it's also like people have this sort of like, well, it's just my opinion. Like, really? But your opinion's really horrible.
Yeah.
And it's a reflection of your character, and you're fucking horrible. I don't understand. Like, it's just my
it's
opinion.
It's crazy.
Really? Your opinion's awful. Why would you want that to be your opinion?
I just, like, the thing that really, like, I was thinking about it was just that, again, because when I first heard it was like, it's your bucket list, stuff you want to do, like, before you die. But now in this context of you only have 10 days to live, it's a completely different scenario. Not saying it was good the other way, but the other way it was like, well, she just thinks black people shouldn't, shouldn't be alive.
But
now it's like the act of killing the black people is what's big to her.
I never even connected the dots. It's like, But you only have 10 days to live. Like,
you're not going to be here with the black people. That's
black
what
people
I mean.
Black people aren't going
to
bother
her
you in 10
point
days.
Is not to get rid of the black people.
It's
that she wants to kill them. Not just that they're dead, but that she gets to do the killing.
And all of them.
All in Camden, New Jersey.
It's a bucket list.
The Eastern Seaboard.
It's a bucket list.
The Earth. How far
list.
Are we taking
list.
This?
I don't know. Ask the Ferguson Police Department. You want to go lighter? Because you were talking about...
Speaking of black people.
Speaking of black people.
I found this awesome video and website that was about shit bougie black people say. Or like. And then the video was shit bougie black girls say. Now, for those of you who do not know what a bougie black person is, it's a person that is black, but... Well, I don't know. How would you describe it?
Well, it's kind of a play on bourgeois.
Yes.
And someone who's bourgeois is like typically... when you're bourgeois and you're white, you're kind of uppity. You're a little bit stuck up.
Okay.
You're thumb your nose. You like, you know, finer things in life and wine. And, you know, like you think of like the in the 80s with the, like the Rolls Royce and the champagne and the dollars and shit. That was kind of bourgeois, like new French kind of.
Like nouveau,
new money. Yeah,
like,
yeah. Maybe I'm understanding the word incorrectly, but that's my.
No, I would say that's a pretty good definition of it. But
so bougie is sort of like a you're not only just portmanteauing it, sort of. You're changing a little bit because it's not necessarily bourgeois. It's like black bourgeois, which is, I don't mean to say this, but like the aspirations, the ceiling is a little bit lower for the black bourgeois.
Like, well, I don't know about that because like the thing is that I would say that used to be back in the day when somebody would, a black person usually was a girl would be bougie.
Definitely.
And it was like, oh, she liked, you know, I would say that that if you ask somebody who was bougie, and I'll say this as a bougie black girl herself, I would probably be bougie. And there's a list they have, and I would probably check off all of the things on the list.
I heard one of them today.
And it was like, oh, they're kind of like white-ish, like black light.
I never thought of it as a white thing. I thought more of a class rather than a race thing.
Yeah, it is a class thing. I'm just saying that's what the negative connotation of it is. Okay. I'm not saying that that's what it actually is. I'm saying that if you said, oh, you're bougie, and someone's like, I'm not bougie, that's why they would say that, okay? I don't think that's what it is at all. Bougie to me is like where you're just black enough, but you're not too black.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Culturally speaking, that's what I would say is the definition of being bougie. You're kind of in this like mid-range cultural spot where you like Biggie Smalls and bottomless mimosas.
So you're,
like you're, you know, you got yourself in a lot of different areas.
You're too black for the country club, but too white for, I don't know,
neighborhood. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think the neighborhood, because we're everywhere. Because it doesn't have any. Because it doesn't have to do with money. It doesn't have to do with like even social status. Because it's not like, oh, they only come from the best families and all that. It's nothing like that. Being bougie.
See, I always thought it was just still again like stuck up in attitude.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the like ultimate bougie girl was Whitley Gilbert from A Different World.
Totally.
That was like the original, like the bougie prototype. I think it's been evolved. Like Olivia Pope is bougie. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a bougie black person, black woman, I would say in today's vernacular.
Don't get the scandal. I don't know what their fans are.
No,
called.
I'm listen.
The scandal stands. Don't get them mad at us.
They bougie too.
Scandal stands are bougie.
Oh,
now you're
yeah.
really pushing it.
Am I?
Yeah. Careful.
Hey, I'm just calling it like I see it.
The K Mafia.
I am bougie, so I can say that.
I know you can, but all right. Do you want to play the video?
Shout out to my bougie girlfriends. What's up, Tia?
So this is Damon Young, and I guess he did Shit Bougie Black Girls Say.
He did.
And
so
he's got a whole – in fact, I don't know if you saw this. There's a whole series.
Yeah, he has quite a few.
I'm not ashamed that ignorant shit we're not afraid to like.
Yeah, they have like a whole thing. Yeah, right. It's pretty funny.
Let's start with
Bougie Black Girls Say.
I'm going to need you to do better. I'm going to need Tyler Perry to do better. I'm going to need Drake to do better.
Ebony, I'm going to need you to do better. I'm going to need you to do better.
I'm going to need you to do better.
I'm going to need him to do better.
I'm going to need him to do better.
Wait, do they have a wine list? Does your car have Wi-Fi?
Groupon!
Wait, who's gonna be there?
My favorite Thai restaurant's in this neighborhood.
Where do you get that from?
The Tiger!
Shut up!
I don't really do code.
I don't really do jogging anymore.
I don't really do Facebook anymore.
I don't really do American Apparel anymore.
You know I don't really do Kappas anymore.
This Negro.
Don't you know this Negro?
Ooh, this is my favorite kind of beige.
Moscato's a dessert wine anyway. I'm so ratchet.
It was pure ratchetness.
Wait, where's my soy milk?
Wait, where's my sparkling water?
Wait, where's my lettuce wrap?
Wait, you ate all the turkey bacon?
He's cute. Does he have a passport? Where'd he go to school?
Oh my God.
Is he gay?
He's gay, right?
Where are we going for brunch?
Wait, which one of the basketball wives am I? I think I'm Tammy.
Hey, I'm down with the swirl, too.
Swirl.
That was cool. Is he from here?
Is he driving that?
You know I'm trying to keep my number down.
Clearly.
Shut up.
When are we going to brunch?
Now he's dragging
the dog.
He's dragging the dog.
Today. Urban League happy hour yesterday. Went to media takeout yesterday. I'm so ratchet.
Don't you know this heifer had the nerve to call me bougie? Wait. Am I bougie?
Oh, too God. Funny, so much funny. In there. So hilarious. She's not doing Kappas anymore. Oh, I love it. That's really funny. So they have a list of shit bougie black people love. So we'll touch on a few of these.
Let's hear it.
Intentionally over tipping. That's something that
I didn't know that.
Bougie black people do. I'm guilty of that. I do intentionally overtip.
What, to combat the stereotype that black
people tip? Yes, to just be like, I'm going to overtip because I can.
30%.
30%. Dropping it. Bottomless mimosas and brunch.
I'll have to keep an eye on you. I didn't know that.
I mean,
I'm not into the 30% tip.
Yeah, I bet.
Very white guy's cheap as shit.
Oh, hilarious.
Sorry. Brunch?
Brunch and bottomless mimosas, which, I mean, I think a lot of people are into that.
That's like saying black people like fried chicken. Like, everybody likes fucking fried chicken.
Yeah, but not
everyone likes brunch.
Yeah, but we're really into bougie chicks. We love a brunch.
I'm into brunch. I'm here for brunch.
Because we also invented this thing called the day party. Have you heard of this?
What's the day party?
It's basically like just an excuse to drink all day. And they throw them, like, they'll have, like, you know, these big functions, and usually there's like a theme to it, and everybody pays money to go.
I feel like you've described every party they've had on like Love and Hip Hop or all those reality shows.
Yeah, usually, like, yeah, they usually have like T-shirt purchase from Teespring campaigns, and they post a lot of pictures of it on Instagram, and they always have like, oh, it's a white party, it's a 90s party, it's a this kind of, and they put together these like loose conglomerates of so-called, you know, promotion companies that put these things on. It's just an excuse to drink all day, really.
It sounds like the bougie black girl version of like a circuit party.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, a little bit like that.
Right.
So bougie black people also like think pieces. That's true. We are think piece loving people. That's true.
Good to know. Yep. You do like a think piece.
I do. I write think pieces, so I definitely like them. Questlove.
You fucking love Questlove. You really that's on the list, Questlove?
Yeah, because here's why. He writes think pieces, so that's like number one.
Well, he's from Philly.
He's associated with hip hop, but he doesn't actually rap.
Oh.
So that's like really good. He's more popular now than he was 10 years ago.
True.
Hello.
He's gaining. He's got that chicken
Thank
store
you.
in New York City.
He
right?
knows Angela Nissel. If you don't know who Angela Nissel is, she wrote The Broke Diaries, which is basically the bougie black girl's Bible.
Okay.
He knows where to find the best Thai restaurants in every mid-Atlantic city, because one of the things that bougie black people love is Thai food.
You don't like Thai food, though.
I don't like Thai food. And he also has an awesome beard.
You like down the way, like Chinese food, like, you know, like cheap Chinese food. That's your jam.
Yeah.
Thai food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do they have on here? Panels, conferences, and conventions.
You do like a conference and convention.
Yep.
You're just, there's a tick.
I'm telling you.
There's a tick.
A Different World, the TV show.
There's a fucking tick. You just referenced fucking,
I'm just saying, yeah, because she's the ultimate.
I'm just saying.
Yes, she is the ultimate. There's a tick. Being upset about Kanye West.
Mean like you hate him or just
just like complaining, like, you know, he did this, he did that.
I'm coming back on Yeezus. I had like, there's like a, I don't know if there's like a white person's like acceptance level with Kanye, like it goes up and down, but I'm back on the upswing.
Okay.
Why do you say him?
I just, you know, he's all right. I mean, I'm not too big a fan. I like his earlier music. I actually like his music generally speaking, but as a quote unquote personality, I don't know. I could take it.
This is going to sound crazy, but like some of the shit he's been saying lately is like, that's making a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to me. Kanye's making sense.
Mm-hmm. Pretending to be ratchet.
I don't know if you do that.
Yeah.
There might be a tick for you on that one.
But. I might not. Definitely okay. not. Yeah, probably. I don't do that. 90s nostalgia.
Done. Tick.
I'm bad with that one. That's like my number one.
Don't even get you started about New Kids
on the
Block.
I love 90s nostalgia. So here's for love. This love for all things 90s is matched only by their passion for bringing the 90s back. Hence the reason why if you happen to ask a bougie black person what they're doing right now, they're likely to give at least one of the following answers. One, taking a quiz to see which living single character they are. I'm Max, by the way. Taking a quiz to see which Fresh Prince of Bel-Air character they are. I'm unfortunately Carlton.
Carlton. I was going to say you're Carlton. You need a Carlton.
Taking a quiz to see which Martin character they are. Hello, Gina. Planning a 90s nostalgia party. Planning an outfit for a 90s nostalgia party. thinking about Lark Voorhees.
Who's Lark Voorhees?
Lark Voorhees would be one Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell. Thank you very much. Very upset you don't know that.
I'm too old. Very White Guy's a little too old. Yeah. Like Saved by the Bell was popular, and I was like either in high school by then or just I wasn't watching Saturday morning TV anymore.
Mm-hmm. Number 7 is Listening to Maze.
Okay.
Yeah, that could happen. I thought I told you that. We won't stop.
You did. That's pretty bougie.
And then one, they have a few other things, but the last one is Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, you do.
Which, you know, I worship the ground Lupita Nyong'o.
Like, although, you know, we never saw 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. So, but just real quick about A Different World and why we love them. The fact becomes clear once you realize there are only 6 types of bougie people and they're all derived from A Different World characters. You ready?
Yep.
The Denise. The upper middle class daddy's girl with a rebellious streak. Grown up Denise is often found in DC running 2 member nonprofits in the hood, branding themselves as tastemakers and quote unquote dating Omari Hardwick.
Tastemakers.
Uh-huh. The Whitley, aka the AKA, the upper middle class daddy's girl without a rebellious streak. Grown up Whitleys are married by 27, usually to MBA grads named Brandon or Richard. Moms by 29, professional board members by 30, and functional alcoholics by 31.
Okay.
The Jaleesa can be found either dating a white guy, writing a book about dating a white guy, or writing a book of why she won't date white guys again.
Okay.
The Freddie is a full-time graphic designer or photographer or something, never seems to have a real job, but always seems to be able to be places, was natural before going natural was a thing. Is now just bald because that will be the new thing. Is effectively the manic pixie black girl. The Lena has 250,000 Twitter followers and does nothing but tweet all day and have Sunday brunch with other Lenas who tweet all day. And the Dwayne, a.k.a. the Kappa, was nerdy in school but somehow has much more social capital now. No need for more description because he is literally the only type of bougie black guy.
There's only one.
There's just the one.
So who are you officially?
Officially, I don't know. I guess I'm I guess I'd have to be Jaleesa because I'm married to a white guy. Yeah.
But there's a little bit of Whitley.
A little bit.
And there's a little bit of the last.
Lena?
Lena, yeah.
Why? Because I tweet?
Yeah.
Okay, well. Anyways, I thought it was funny. Shit, bougie, black people love.
That is funny.
It was cute. Yeah.
I like it. And like, we'll have to see more of his videos.
Yeah, we'll look at some more of those. More.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, I guess we'll go back to more stuff in the news, but the other direction, back to Ferguson. Mm. And did you hear that the no-fly report was definitely for the media now?
Yeah, I saw that. The AP had a report, right?
Yeah, and what's even worse is like, this will be a whole, I guess, segment about St. Louis and their news being piles of shit, but they really tried to come out, and the Ferguson police chief came out like, no, it's about safety and safety. And it's like, no, we've got the FAA tapes where you're talking about.
Stan Fox, the St. Louis County Police Chief, responds to questions about the ban to keep television news helicopters from flying over Ferguson days after the Michael Brown shooting.
Was the request to the FAA about safety or did it violate journalists' constitutional rights? Fox News' Rocky Madden has the latest from the chief who wrapped up his news conference within the hour. Rocky, what did the chief have to say?
Well, Tom, this news conference is a lot more about those helicopters and the media. I'll get to those points. They're very interesting in just a moment. But first, let me tell you that I want you to listen to a recording. This was obtained by the Associated Press from a Freedom of Information Act. Now, it's between an FAA controller talking with a Kansas City manager about whether those flight restrictions were really about safety. Listen.
They finally admitted it really was to keep the media out. But they were a little concerned of, obviously, anything else that could be going on.
Today, Sky Fox and other media aircraft were prevented from showing what was happening.
Well, just stop it there. So, it's just so crazy. It was 37 square miles for 12 days.
Wow.
For 12 days. And
which, that doesn't even seem like safe. Like, I know they claim it was for safety forward-facing, but generally speaking, like, usually news helicopters – They do more than just report on protesters. They're there for traffic accidents. Sure. They give information when they're looking for suspects, when they're looking for Amber Alerts. It's not as though they don't have safety uses other than just showing the fucked up shit that the police are doing.
Well, in the rest of the video I didn't play, the chief does say that, you know, he references at least one report. There was a report where someone saw the shots at a helicopter that they thought the helicopters are causing people to shoot at them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was the safety issue.
Because first of all,
that happens all the time.
That happens all the time.
Okay, let's if there was a report,
let me tell you something. I bet you it was a goddamn police officer that did it.
Shot at the helicopters.
Shoot at the helicopters quickly. It's a safety issue.
It's fucking crazy. And it just, you know, think of what the overhead coverage could have done. That might have painted a different picture. It might have, you know. I don't know. Just you could have seen things from a helicopter, could have perhaps got footage that you know, all we have, a lot of all we have is like live stream, people on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been good to see, especially because they tried to have this narrative of the reason why they came in with the tanks was because such and such was going on, or the reason why they threw tear gas in this section because these people were doing this in this area. And the people on the ground were like, I was standing right where they claimed this was happening and it wasn't.
Right.
So it would have been good to have an aerial, you know, just visual of... Because it was hard seeing live stream and ground footage to get a good sense of how big of an area this was, even in general, around the shootings area and around where the protesting was going on. So
it would have been good to have some aerial footage. You could have seen exactly how many people were there.
Yeah,
exactly
that's what I mean. Really get an idea, like how outnumbered were the protesters versus the police. All of those things go into the narrative of what the public's perception is of the incidents, of the protests that are continuing to go on. I think that definitely would have just to have that access would have been useful.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, you think from the news point of view, you want eyeballs. It would have been the best way to get them what they're looking for also. So
speaking of media bias and shitty St. Louis news, did you see the St. Louis Today online edition?
I saw it like so briefly.
So they had admittedly it's the opinion section. I'm just going to, without color or clarification, I'm going to read each of the clickable headlines they have. Okay. And you tell me what this sounds like to you.
Okay.
Number one, mob aims to lynch police officer and call it justice. Number two, many Americans are extremely tired of the victim scenario. Number three, looking for a big payday by faulting the police. Number four, hundreds attend funeral for Von Derrick Myers Jr. Number five, applaud the police who put their fear aside to do the duty.
Oh my gosh.
Is that, am I like.
But this is the opinion section, but those are the headlines they just chose to put up there. You would think everybody in St. Louis is a racist asshole.
I mean, are you fucking kidding me with that? Like, what, it's not even... I said this to Drumbeat the other day. We were tweeting. I was like, they're not even trying to hide it anymore.
No, they're not.
They're so overtly fucking biased and racist. It's absolutely crazy. It's nuts to me.
Totally crazy.
So you had something that was...
I did. So I think it was the same day probably that came out. One of my tweeps had tweeted me this photo of these two guys, one black, one white, dressed like Newsies, you know, like that movie with Christian Bale, like old school,
with extra,
that kind of thing. And they were standing outside of the St. Louis Dispatch office handing out printed copies of what they have called the St. Louis Post Disgrace instead of Post Dispatch. And so this was, it says the number one St. Louis website and newspaper ... as if we had a choice.
For real.
So it's not any actual news service. It's just about the bias of the dispatch itself. So it says moving day, police move into Post Dispatch newsroom. That's the headline. Police decide to solidify their already cozy relationship by moving into the post offices. John Q. Furrights, a police officer with the Ferguson Police Department, says, quote, we got tired of phoning it in, so we figured we'd just shout it over the cubicle. local activist arrested for assault with a deadly pumpkin. And has a picture of that woman they arrested.
Yeah.
A tale of two cities. Residents of Northside struggle to live while Southside eats bonbons.
Yeah, please.
That's why I had to pull it out.
But the best. Well, it's two things. They have weather in the bottom. It says weather today, 65 high, 40 low. Partly cloudy with a slim chance of justice.
All right.
And for tomorrow, it says 72 high, 90 low.
Okay.
Raining tears for Mike Brown.
Yeah.
But the classified section is the best. Help wanted. experienced, biased reporter.
I think they have her already. It's Christine DeBuyers. What's her name? That chick that did the tweet
about the fucking... The Post is looking to hire a seasoned reporter. Must be experienced in telling half of the story, misquoting experts, and sticking to your lies.
Very good.
Facts and truths are not required for consideration. This vacancy was recently created when a reporter went rogue on the facts and decided to create her own story. Therefore, a vivid imagination is a must, as said reporter would put Walt Disney to shame. Please forward resume and writing examples, i.e. fairy tales and falsehoods. Honesty and integrity will not be required for this position. Non-equal opportunity employer. It's pretty hilarious. You can actually download it. It's on, what's it, Squibbed?
Scribd.
Yeah, Scribd. It's on there. You can just search for St. Louis Post Disgrace, and you'll be able to download it.
So Scribd's an online newspaper. That's funny. They even put it up there.
Yeah, they put it up there for download.
Good
it's
for
pretty
them.
Sweet.
Like Onion did.
But yeah, they did.
The whole St. Louis, it's just that Christine girl's awful. I mean, she writes like literally like press releases for the police department.
But you have to understand, and this is what I was saying to somebody in a meeting on Sunday night. I said, you have to realize that in order for the police department to get the way that it is, for the judicial system to get the way that it is, for the populace to get to the way that it is, of course the media is going to be that way.
Oh, they're complicit.
They're all in concert, and it speaks to the I've been saying this from the day that Mike Brown was killed, that especially the response to the protesters and to the media being there, I just feel like you walk into Missouri and you can just check your citizenship at the gates, because if they decide that you're not worthy of having rights, guess what? You don't have them. You just don't have them. And nobody that is there in the mix that's supposed to be making sure you have them, from the judicial system to law enforcement, including the media, because they too are a check and balance in the system, they're all complicit. And it's just insane.
And when people, you know, I don't want anyone to think that, like, when you say complicit, that may imply there's like this grand conspiracy to
No,
to
I'm
kill
saying
black
that
people.
It's an atmosphere
well,
of.
And I was going to give an example. And with Christine specifically, right? So she's a crime reporter for St. Louis Dispatch, but she also writes books, these true crime books, right?
Right.
Where does she get the information and this access? And she gets all these little, you know, tidbits and secrets and things because the police allow her access. They give her access. If she were to write shit that's like, you know, fuck the Ferguson Police Department, they're fucking racist, they're horrible, what do you think would happen to her access and her ability to write these stories and write these books? It would poof, it'd be gone. It'd be completely disappear. So I'm not, I agree that they're all complicit, but for a variety of different reasons. You know, it's not like you can just sort of, you know, change one thing and have this dynamic disappear, this complicity they all have. And it's, you know, frequently for profit and different motives, but it's just terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's terrible. One other thing that happened, speaking of media bias, was this brawl at the NASCAR race with Jeff Gordon and Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick. Those are three drivers in NASCAR. Brad hit Jeff towards the end of the race that was this weekend. And Jeff pulled over in the pit stop where Brad stopped and got out of his car, took his helmet off, went marching over to him, like his little arms shaking in the air. And they got into a little thing. Kevin, who is one of Jeff's team drivers, but wasn't driving right then, like pushes Brad, and then all out white on white brawl melee starts occurring. They both were bloodied, and it was all this whole stuff that happened and everything. The video is pretty crazy because it's a lot of just like shoving and arms flailing, and I mean, these are NASCAR guys. They're not huge guys.
Somebody spilled my Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Somebody put milk on my car. No, I was just kidding. So, but it was interesting just to see the coverage of it, because it was pretty, you know, violent, especially for, you know, you talk about in sports, some sports, it's okay to have contact. Some sports, it's not. Like in baseball, sometimes, you know, the bench will get emptied out. People will be yelling at each other, whatever. And it's like, hey, that's not even a contact sport. This is beyond that. Like, you're in a vehicle. It's the opposite. It's so far from a contact sport. Like, why are you even? My thing is, like, why are you even going to talk to him right now? Whatever happened, happened. Like, take it up after. I mean, you shoving yourself out of the car. And Jeff Gordon's a bully, really, anyways. I mean, that's been shown.
Yeah.
He just killed a man.
Well, there's a context for why they're doing this. And I had to look up a little bit because I knew a little bit and I didn't know enough. But so this year, January 2014, NASCAR changed their championship cup series format. So it used to be like a set number of drivers.
Right.
And there was 10 races. And then over the course of those 10 races, whoever amassed the most points.
Right. It was like point total. Yeah. And like, but, yeah.
So what would happen is you'd have the last like race 9 or 10, somebody who's in the lead by so much, Jeff Gordon, I think, did this many years, where he only had to come in like 23rd place.
Oh, so he wasn't like pushing it.
Yeah. So they wanted to make each race be more climactic and have a bigger format. So they have a 16 car format with a sort of like an elimination format.
Oh.
So if you're not in the top like 12.
And after four, then you get knocked down. You're not in.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
So there are still like 10 weeks of racing, but they have this different format. And so I'll just read what they said. That 16 drivers will now make the field based on whether or not they won a race. So you have to win a race to get in.
Okay.
Not simply their point totals. The 10 race championship will feature elimination rounds. The new format rewarding winning NASCAR chairman. It elevates the importance of every race across the entire schedule. It ultimately rewards those drivers and teams who perform at the highest level when the championship is on the line. And I get that. As if you're in charge of a sports league and you want to make the product better, I get it. So I'm wondering whether this was not, you know, the motions being deliberately, I'm not calling it like WWE, but I wonder how much of it was really, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, you think that they were trying to amp up the like drama of it?
Yeah, yeah. Because now it's like, oh, you got to watch every race. There could be a fucking brawl.
I would say that except for, you know, Jeff just killed somebody on the road. So, I mean, I would agree except for that.
He's the guy that killed somebody? I thought that was.
No, that was Jeff Gordon.
It was. Okay.
Jeff Gordon.
And the like. Sprint, like non-NASCAR thing?
Yeah, then not. We're just like, I'll never give it up, even though I've killed a man.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. But it was interesting to see because nobody referred to any of them as a thug.
Well, you said it right away. I said, man, nobody said white on white crime.
Nobody said white on white crime.
I will not address NASCAR until we talk about the pervasiveness of white on white crime. God damn it, no!
Girl,
not
going to
do it. Girl, please.
Girl, please. No, but it just put me in mind of Richard Sherman at the NFC Championship last year when he had that interview with Aaron.
Right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because, the response was like immediate on Twitter, and there was a whole people calling him a thug, and he's this and he's that, just being kind of like exuberant after winning arguably up till now in his career the biggest game.
He didn't punch anybody. He didn't get in a fight.
No, he sure didn't. Well, the definition of a thug is a person who engages in violent and or criminal behavior. So I would definitely say that Jeff Gordon and his cohorts would be much more closer to a thug than someone who just was excited in an interview.
Well, am I mistaken? Didn't Sherman like kind of come out and accuse people of calling them like thugs the new N-word?
He did. He said that it was basically the new way of saying the N-word. And there's some things to back that up. Number one, the day after the incident, the word thug was uttered 625 times on TV that next day.
No. Are you shitting me?
No. This is actual Q ratings of it. It's kind of crazy.
625 times the next day.
Yeah. And it went down after that. But that next day, it was 625, the most ever.
Get out of town.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And
I love that you found that data. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, people definitely keep that stuff.
Okay.
And then they have, you know, a lot of arguments and stuff people were having on the air, but he was a flashpoint for it, and they definitely were just saying it. And so there's a lot of other co-words that they start. Skip Bayless calls him a thug, which, you know, there's that.
I hate Skip Bayless.
But they've also moved on to using this term, a knucklehead.
Oh, really?
That's the new thing. Because now they can't say thug anymore. So they say knucklehead. But interesting, the word thug is something that the conservative right uses quite a bit to talk about our president. They refer to Michelle Bachmann, or sorry, Rush Limbaugh has referred to him as a Chicago thug. Michelle Bachmann calls his antics thuggery. Karl Rove has referred to President Obama as some kind of political thug because of comments he made about the Supreme Court. The conservative blogosphere is filled with people who routinely describe him as a Chicago thug for bringing Chicago politics to the White House.
Am I crazy? That's just the nuttiest thing. So many of the data points and statistics show, like, I think it was The Economist even came out and said he's going to go down as one of the best presidents ever for the economy. And he's bringing thug politics?
Thug politics.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. David Remnick of The New Yorker said Obama attributed some of his political difficulties to a subset of Americans who oppose the idea of a black president.
Shocking.
This sparked a predictable torrent of right-wing outrage. But he wasn't wrong. There are Americans who oppose Obama out of racial animus. And when provocateurs like Glenn Beck or Limbaugh accuse the president of having, quote, deep-seated hatred of white people, that's who they're aiming at. And so they're saying that thug is based, it's a dog whistle. A
dog whistle.
And they use it as such. They wield it as such.
It didn't make the cut for this week, but the piece about the guy that wanted to behead the president, he wrote a fucking email saying like, I'm going to fucking cut your head off. You're not doing anything about ISIS and this and Ebola and all this shit. It was like all the like rhetorical, like polemic talking points from Glenn Beck, Hannity and fucking the whole right wing GOP fucking Fox News front. And he wouldn't have got that charged up, I don't think. He's a normal guy. Like, did he really want to kill the president? I don't know, but he's not going to go to jail for it, for making these terroristic and, threats to the president. And I feel like it's, like, Fox and companies fucking, like, responsible for winding him up.
Well, there is definitely a lot of that, like, the divisiveness that they try and rabble-rouse people.
Sure, they make money.
And make it much bigger than it needs to be.
Because it's not news. They want to fucking sell entertainment. And unfortunately, who's spending a lot of money on entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
Racist.
Speaking of entertainment.
Uh-oh.
You said something to me about Dan Snyder suing some Native Americans.
Oh, I had to look it up, and it was just we can talk about it if we want. It's so fucking ridiculous. I can't get over it. Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, everyone
I'm
knows.
I'm not saying that anymore.
You're not even saying the word Redskins?
Nope.
Okay. I'm being more specific and objective. I will stop for now. But owner of the team in Washington.
Yes, the Washington NFL team.
The Washington NFL franchise. They, for a period of time this summer, they lost their trademark to the term, the name, because a group of individuals brought a complaint to,
sure,
the trademark patent office.
Which is how it works.
That's how the system works.
Right.
And
you can't have the Toledo N-words.
No.
Either.
Nope. You can't. So the trademark board decided to cancel their trademark and cited some sort of, some federal regulations. Again, that's how the process was to work. So Snyder turns around and sues. That's what I'm saying. He's suing the five Native Americans that brought this suit, arguing that basically they're causing him damage. And this group of individuals, they're the ones that brought the petition, so he's going to sue them for these damages. And the judge agreed, so he can go through. That's okay. It would be unprecedented to stop this lawsuit.
Wow.
It's just like, when is enough enough?
Why are they holding on to it so hard? That's what I don't understand. It's very confusing to me.
Well, and it's
I don't understand it, because I just feel like, to me, how they always have these like those bumblebee uniforms in Pittsburgh and everything. Like, it would seem to me as a business owner that if you rebrand your team, everybody that's a fan of your team, they got to go out and buy all that new shit now.
Yeah,
it's only gonna, that dude that has the horrible name jacket and belt, he's gonna want the new team's crap. So it would seem to me like it would be, for business, not a problem. And hey, look, you get to look great. The other side of this is you look like an asshole spending the last, I don't even know how many years, trying to justify this racist name for your team. It's insanity.
Did you remember when the first petition came out that there was a neighbor of his that's a, I think he's maybe a patent attorney or trademark attorney of some sort, who trademarked, and I can't remember the name, like Warriors maybe?
Uh-huh.
Like the Washington Warriors.
Okay.
Or some other name that was sort of like...
Like, could be along the same lines,
But less, obviously not offensive, not an
right.
epithet.
Not an, a racial not epithet, epithet not yes.
And like... he didn't get that. So maybe that's part of why he's holding on to it. If he'd gotten that patent himself or that trademark for this other name, maybe he would.
But there's 100 names you could use.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, this is ridiculous. We're talking about the English language. Well, I just, that this idea of the thing that gets me, I just don't understand the mentality of it, is you can see logically why this is offensive to people.
When there's this,
and it's a pretty, like, I don't understand it.
Well,
it,
I was gonna say, there's actual not historical, but you can look at other teams that have moved and changed their name. Houston Oilers, another Tennessee Titans. Did all those Oiler fans fucking like scream like, oh my god, our tradition, horrible? The Baltimore Colts left, and they kept that name. But so teams have moved; they've changed names, right?
They didn't keep that name. They became the Ravens.
Oh, right. No, it was the Browns.
But then, oh, that was the Browns.
But then the Browns came
back. But whatever.
Back.
I'm just saying that you're right. Even in the NFL, teams have changed
teams
their name.
Teams have changed their
they've moved.
Name.
They've done all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely.
And time has kept on a ticking.
No one has been, you know.
The Rams moved to a different state.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's just crazy to me.
It's time to give it up.
I just don't understand it. I can't have yet to have anybody have a sensical argument to me other than I don't want to have to buy a new jersey. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Well, let's stop talking about it. Let's move on because
okay.
I want to go back to – so we talked a couple episodes ago about Obama, President Obama, and his final term and Michelle.
FLOTUS, yeah.
And FLOTUS. Having a little bit
turn
of –
turn up for what?
A little bit of what we dubbed lame duck blackness, right? So he's letting his blackness out a little bit more now that he's in his second term. And he brought out a cousin Pookie came off the coast telling people to vote, but I'll play the tape here.
I hope that early voting will work in its favor.
So starting tomorrow, you can vote too. You've got to grab your friends. You've got to grab your coworkers. You know, don't just get the folks who you know are going to vote. You got to find cousin Pookie. He's sitting on the couch right now watching football. Hadn't voted in the last 5 elections. You've got to grab him.
He's laughing.
And tell him to go vote.
We've got to vote.
So, all right, first of all, did you see, you got to grab, he had like that whole like drawl to it, cousin Pookie.
Cousin Pookie.
You can see his cadence has been changing. He's getting way more black.
Well, the two,
in his black scent is
when he, when
like
he came
strong.
At Mike Jones, the Don't Touch My Girlfriend, Mike
he
Jones.
He did. That was like definitely.
Yeah, he had some swagger.
He had that little swagger. Mike Jones.
Well, and this isn't the first time. He brought Cousin Pookie out 2008.
Right.
Again, second term.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't laughing then.
He wasn't laughing about it. And I'm curious to hear sort of your take. There's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a backlash, but so some people are now accusing the president of, you know, maybe like code switching a little bit, like, you know, quote unquote, using, you know.
Where was he talking? Let me ask you that.
It was a predominantly black audience. I don't know the exact place
okay.
it was. Let me look it up. So, but do you think, do you accuse him? Is that a valid gripe that he's using Cousin Pookie and black audiences? And
well, I would if it wasn't something he's already used. I feel like that's clearly just something his speechwriters have put in. He doesn't write everything he says. So that's the first thing I would say. Secondarily, I mean, who doesn't code switch?
Right.
I mean, I don't talk to you the same way I talk to my mom.
Sure.
I don't. I don't think it's that big of a like. Oh my God! Black people code switch. No shit, we do.
There's definitely.
We don't have a choice but to code
switch. You saw George Bush, right? W would when he's you know in Texas and in the southern places
on his farm.
Yeah, he got a little bit more
drawl.
And
on the ranch.
On the ranch. The estate. You know, so I don't think it's a knock on him, but
I mean, I think it's a knock on him because I think it was kind of stereotypical that Cousin Pookie, whoever he was, hasn't voted in the last 5 elections and is sitting on the couch watching football. That's more offensive to me than code switching.
And even the
but it also is just shows you how out of touch our president, Ivy League educated millionaire, that multimillionaire that he is with the average black voter.
I remember people kind of gripe about like, oh, president should be speaking out about, you know, all these issues with black people. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but he's got a lot less in common with the average black person than, you know.
And not just that, but when we went to see Ta-Nehisi Coates, he had this just brilliant statement that he said that the president of the United States represents the government of the United States. And that person in that seat has no moral authority to talk to black people about anything because they represent an inherently racist, systematic system that keeps black people down. So you cannot say, I think black people should do XYZ as a president, no matter what color you are as the president. You don't have the moral authority to do that. So him speaking out on these issues would be like, yeah, okay, come talk about whatever you think. And I was like, what's he going to say? Because he can't do anything. And certainly he's proved he hasn't done anything. So what is there to really be said?
Yeah, he needs to come as the president, not as the black president.
Right. And the president's not doing shit.
No.
And neither is the black
one. The president's job is to make sure that that shit continues on some level, right?
Certainly to make sure that the country keeps moving along the way that everybody thinks it
should. What do you think about the usage of Pookie specifically? That's a bit of a, you know, like, isn't that a character that, what comedian played?
Chris Rock played Pookie.
A horrible movie. But
what? You better back up.
Pookie, come on.
Pookie was from New Jack City, and it's one of the best movies ever.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the where he takes the belt off.
That's Pootie Tang.
Okay, thank you.
I'm taking away your black card.
No, because I confused Pookie and Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
I know New Jack City. I was thinking Pootie, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, isn't that a character?
And Chris Rock is not in Pootie Tang.
I thought Chris Rock was Pootie Tang.
No, Pootie Tang is another dude. He goes like, Sadate, Sadate. He's like this other dude.
Well, that's a terrible movie.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's what I was thinking of.
Maybe Chris Rock is in Pootie Tang.
I'll have to look it up. IMDb.
We'll have to check it out.
Well, while you do that, I'll talk about...
Well, we're getting close to the end of the show here. I think we have to skip that.
What?
Yeah, it'll be good for the... You can hold it to the next one. It's not time sensitive.
I'm not a player. I just tweet a lot.
Aww.
All right.
So today is election day. We voted. Yay, yay.
I get the ding.
Yeah, we did. We voted. And there has been some issues going on, specifically in Atlanta. Oh, sorry, not Atlanta, but in Fulton County in Georgia today. Last week, some 40,000 voter registrations were misplaced. They were not able to be found in the system. There's been this big push in the state by the NAACP and a couple of other people. Groups got together to try and register like 800,000 people, voters that have never voted before, to vote because they feel like with the demographics as they are in the state, they should be able to turn the Peach State blue this election cycle. So they spent all of this time getting all this stuff together. And last week, 40,000 of them just disappeared.
Lovely.
So... it's kind of a big issue, obviously. And this happened in also Latinos in Louisville and members of the military in Texas. So they had tens of thousands of people in total, plus these 40,000 voters in Georgia that have had these issues coming up this election cycle. And then today, election day, more issues from the Georgia Secretary of State, one Brian P. Kemp. And I'm going to just read from... oh, gosh, this is just terrible on election day. I just don't even know what to say about it. But here we go. First of all, their website, which they have been directing people to figure out where their polling station was down this morning. So people could not figure out where they were supposed to vote. Then people that did get to their polling stations... the machines were down. They're supposed to start polling at 7, and some places reported not being open till as late as 7:40, which, of course, led to long lines. A lot of people would try and go if you don't have the day off and you can't take time off work. You'd go before you go to work, so that first hour is pretty critical for voting, and this pushed people back. Several areas, several polling stations were at Georgia Tech's campus, and they were told if they once they voted, they have their sticker, they'd be able to park for free, and then were charged to leave the parking garage.
Sounds like a poll tax.
So they basically paid to vote, which is against the law. Long lines, missing registrations. People would walk up there; they wouldn't be listed on the registration. They'd be sent sometimes up to 20 miles away to a different polling station.
Jeez. This is all in Georgia.
Uh huh. Not just Georgia, Fulton County, very specifically. Disabled voter information website makes it clear that voters in Georgia are not freely able to exercise their most cherished of rights because they couldn't even get information to where they could be able to go if they were handicapped and needed to get to a specific location that was accessible for them.
You know, I know I'm a conspiracy theorist, and
this is crazy, though.
I think of bias in a lot of ways, but like. This seems way too many incidents to
it's
be fucking coincidence.
It's just too much.
You know, I know you can like give data and paint a narrative, but like there's no other way to interpret this than they're trying to suppress fucking votes.
And then there's been a lot of videos coming in of all these places in Fulton County, which is a predominantly African American county. Lines. All you see is black faces.
It was an hour plus.
All you see is black faces there. It's kind of crazy. And
And I don't know. I hope people know that if you're in line, they, even if the poll closes, they can't make you leave, right?
Well, that's not true. It's 7:15. They said that they were extending it by 15 minutes. They're supposed to close at 7, so they've extended it to 7:15. And so if they're in line by 7:15, they're able to cast their votes. The problem is that they kept saying, well, we have a backup plan. Everybody was offered a provisional paper ballot. But all these black people were like, fuck you. I'm going in the booth. I'm not giving you a piece of paper. How do I know what you're going to do with that?
You lost 40,000 registrations.
You already lost people's registration.
You misguided people with your fucking, you know, conveniently not available website. You fucking send people 20 miles away. And now you want me to write on a fucking piece of paper and hand it to you? Fucking out of here. Get the fuck. That's crazy. This just makes me – I tweeted this the other day and some right-wing nut job like reframed it and sent it back. But I feel like you're an American, right? What's gone on our country, white, black, Republican, Democratic, to enable us as a populace to exercise that fundamental right to cast a vote, you should be absolutely sickened by anything that does anything to suppress the vote. And don't give me this whole fucking integrity of one vote, this and shit, because corporate personhood, all this other dark money, it's so disgusting. It makes me absolutely sick. Absolutely sick that they've suppressed voting.
It's crazy. These people who try to stand under, oh, we can't believe in the Constitution and states' rights and all of these things only if it goes our way.
Or if you look like us.
It's crazy. Former state representative Edward Lindsay, Republican from Atlanta, was among the voters who showed up at St. James Methodist Church at 7 a.m. ready to vote. Lindsay said computer problems delayed the start of voting until about 7:40 a.m. Now, you know, I mentioned earlier they only were keeping them open 15 extra minutes. So this is now 40 minutes. At the time, poll workers were able to get two of the precinct's four computers properly working, Lindsay said. He said he was able to vote at 8:15, so it took an hour and 15 minutes. Many others, he said, had to leave without voting.
They've got to work. You only have so much time.
It's another Fulton County mishap, end quote, Lindsay said. It's crazy.
We're lucky. The suburbs we're in, every time we go to vote, there's almost nobody there. It's like the two, octogenarians looking things up. And there's only the two booths. I've never, ever had to wait in line for anything to vote at our polling place.
That's
ever.
Crazy. Rashad Robinson, the executive director of colorofchange.org, released a statement just not that long ago, said, quote, today is election day, a day when elections officials should be working overtime to ensure that voting is fair, free and easy. Unfortunately, even amidst the controversy surrounding his mishandling of over 40,000 missing voter registration forms, Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp's office has mismanaged another key aspect of the process, locating your polling place. With so many hotly contested races on the line, it's disappointing and dismaying to see that eligible Georgia voters are waking up to find one more roadblock on their path to full Democratic participation today.
Fucking terrible. And you noticed that the polling place, the two people that are sitting there writing names down, you know what they were doing? They're voting poll watchers, and they're specifically for the GOP, and they mark down people that vote, and then they cross-reference with their registered GOP list, and at like 5, 6 o'clock, they start calling people and sending out vans. Hey, you haven't voted yet.
Sure.
So they really, they work that, on both ends. It's almost like, it just makes me crazy.
It's just horrible.
The system is so rigged. And I got mad at people saying like, why vote? I don't want to vote. But I can, I'm not saying I would agree with it, but I can see where the sentimentality comes
from.
But
then the spin becomes from the right where they're like, well, this is just Democrats trying to get the vote out, that they're trying to scare people into voting. I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you really think that that would be a strategy to employ?
For real.
I'm going to make people think that you are trying to suppress the vote and that's going to make them vote? Because when has that ever fucking worked?
And you know what? That's so like Democrats are always all they ever say, vote. Not vote,
vote
Democrat. Not
vote.
Vote. Just go vote. Get out and vote. Vote, 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 vote. And arguably, the more people that vote, traditionally that favors the Democratic Party. But it's just sort of like, how can you as a Republican be like, oh, they're just trying to get people to vote?
And that's a problem.
The temerity.
How dare we?
Oh, my God. They're trying to get people to
vote.
They're
trying to get people to vote.
Those fuckers are going to vote.
Oh, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. And all these laws that they're passing, I was reading a thing today about, there used to be, they'd have these tricks they'd employ, to not let black people vote. And before black people were able to read, they would be like, oh, you know, make them read. Once the black person can read, then that was illegal. So they would arrest them. Not to say that this is equating, but it's just like we have such a sordid history of people having to fight for their right to vote. And anything that would get in the way of it, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
People are outraged about voter ID laws now, and there are some that are getting shot down and some that it went through. I think it was Texas that still has them. It went through. But, you know, the SCOTUS, like, they eviscerated the Voting Rights Act. They took out the most important provision of the Voter Rights Act like 6 months ago, and hardly a blip on the radar.
And I don't even know. Every time I think about that decision, it's like I don't even know what the case was like, because they don't like bureaucracy. It's the fucking government.
Yeah.
It's nothing but bureaucracy. So what? They had three extra hoops to go through. Well, if we're talking about preserving the sanctity of our democratic process and our elections, you would think that anything would be worth it.
And you can't even they're not even trying to be secretive or hide about it. The piece of the Voter Rights Act that they changed was some states, historically southern states, that had to get approval from a federal board before they made any of these sort of, you know, vast sort of sweeping changes in their voting policy. So they take that out. So you don't have to ask anymore. We're post-racial. It's okay. Everyone's wonderful. And what did they fucking do? What was the first fucking thing, like, six out of these fucking 12 states did? Enact voter ID laws. How does that not fucking like one? I know it's one after the other, but how do we not draw that fucking direct line?
And the scary thing is they filed it. They were ready.
Oh, yeah. The next day. Because November 4th was coming up fast.
It's crazy.
And the SCOTUS vote was 5-4.
It's nuts. It's always 5-4.
It's always fucking 5-4.
Anywho.
Let's talk about fun stuff. Let's talk about TV, yeah?
Well, I don't know if we have time for TV.
No? Okay. We're going to go right into the end?
Yeah, I think we'll just jump in, so I'll do a real quick podcast standing.
We're trying to keep it shorter, y'all.
Yeah, we've heard we're that long-winded. The show is a little too long, so we're going to try and keep ourselves to an hour. A tight hour, as Kid Fury would say.
A tight hour.
Tight. So just a quick shout out to Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews. It's an awesome podcast. They actually have a couple. They do movie reviews. They do TV show reviews. And they have their original podcast, which is called Insanity Check, which they talk about nerdy stuff. You can find them online at movietrailerreviews.net. And you can follow Chris on Twitter at Insanity Check. They're really great. They review Gotham. They review The Walking Dead. They review video games, all sorts of movies. And they're really they're super unpretentious. And he also has been super vocal about this whole street harassment bullshit. So highly recommend them. So check them out again, movietrailerreviews.net. And you can follow Chris at Insanity Check on Twitter. Anything else for today?
Hold it. Hold it. Time out. I got something in my eye, jack-off.
That's it.
All right.
Time out,
jack-off. All right. All right, babe. High five.
We did it.